You are listening to the Faith, Love, and Relationship Podcast with Melvin Davis. Welcome back. It's been a few weeks since I posted my last episode. Give it a listen if you haven't. That episode, episode 7, it was called I Felt Her. And, you know, I went in about a very sensitive and personal experience that I had with someone, which was all orchestrated by God. But in this topic, it's a little bit lighter, I guess, but still a heartfelt one. Episode 8 is going to, I'm going to focus on being healed and being healed for love. If you are single and you're waiting, I know that as time goes on and the months and days pass and the years pass and you haven't found the right person, I know that finding love is something it's on your heart and that you probably think about on a consistent basis. As a single man, it crosses my mind every now and then. And the interesting thing is that I do write about love just about every day. It's something that God has, to top of that, God has placed on my heart, to share with the body of Christ, through the gifts and talents that He has given me. And, you know, one of my purposes of how God uses me, or a purpose of a reason why God uses me is to encourage the body of Christ. And God will often use me as a vehicle to bring healing to others. And so Heal for Love is going to be the topic in this episode. If you haven't got a chance to check out my novel, it is called Heal for Love. It's available on Amazon. It's on Apple, but Amazon is like is where most of my readers have purchased my book from. It's available in ebook and in a paperback version. But I've referenced my book because I'm gonna read some excerpts from it. I'm gonna pull out certain themes and maybe scenes that. And some dialogue that's going to be focused around healing and being broken and wounded. And if you have been in a relationship that didn't work out the way that you prayed and you thought it would, if you were in love and well invested with faith, that you would have spent the rest of your life with this person, and it didn't work out, and you've been hurt and broken and wounded and in some way, healing is the next step in moving forward. And I know that the spirit grieves when hope is sucked out of it. It's a crushing blow that's the strongest. You know, that crushing blow of being broken, it can persuade you to create blanket statements to say that, you know, all men are dogs or cheaters if you have been cheated on, or, you know, it's men can create blanket statements about women and say that all women are the H word, or all women are materialistic or manipulators. And it's easy to say that true love doesn't exist when you haven't experienced it, or that you were the recipient of consistent disappointments of failed relationships. You know, I know what it feels like to be disappointed. I think I'm at a place in my life and walk with Christ that disappointment seems to be something I'm familiar with than being broken and wounded. I think, and you know, years ago I've dealt with like, you know, being wounded or broken by, you know, some failed relationship. But now I've matured in a way where I like to be very prayerful and discerning if I decide to move forward with someone. And, you know, there is a, you know, with the wisdom of God, there's a part of me that reserves myself, meaning, you know, my feelings and my investment in someone. I kind of reserve a part of myself so that I can hear from God. Because if I can't hear from God and if I don't feel His peace, then I'm not going to fully invest myself, especially when there are some doubts. Or, you know, I was explaining to someone that, you know, oftentimes when I have in the past, when I have prayed about someone and I didn't have peace, my things would get to the point where I would hear the Holy Spirit say no. And it's not an audible no. It's inaudible, but it's almost like as if I can hear it, like, you know, inside of my spirit. And the no becomes so, over time, the no becomes so like very authoritative and strong, to the point where I start to feel like nauseous, or I feel like turbulence inside. And, you know, it's my prayer that God will give you that level of discernment and sensitivity to His Spirit, so that you're able to discern God's will. Before I go further, I do want to pray. And I do have a scripture that's going to serve as the foundation of this message. And I'm sure as I go into the first part, maybe a second part if necessary, there are going to be some other scriptures that the Holy Spirit will bring to mind. But I want to pray first, and I want to pray because I want to keep my own personal thoughts and opinions, my own preferences and perspectives out of what God wants to say. Because I'm not here to persuade you to think a certain way, to think the way that Melvin thinks. I don't even want to think the way that I think. I want my mind to be in Christ. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and your holiness. Father, you are set apart. You are the definition of holiness and consecration. You are the definition of love. Inside your will is filled with love and clarity, joy and peace and understanding. And although we may have trials and tribulations in this world, we have a Lord and Savior who has overcome those trials and tribulations. And His Spirit lives in us. Jesus, thank you so much for what you did on the cross. Thank you so much for being Lord and Savior, for being my Lord and Savior. Thank you for those who have tuned in to listen to what you have to say. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to guide this message. Guide this message into the hearts and souls of those who are listening now. And if there are someone, if there's someone who's listening right now who needs to be healed, then I pray that they will listen with an open heart, with an open mind. And it's in your name, Jesus, that I pray. Amen. So healing is, if you have been in love, like I mentioned earlier, if you've been in a relationship and it hasn't worked out, and you gave your all into this relationship or courtship or marriage and it didn't work out, you felt something. You felt the sting of that disappointment, the sting of that brokenness. It's really difficult to move forward immediately when you have spent X amount of years or even, you know, 6 to 10 months. You know, you can become really spiritually and emotionally attached to someone, which is essentially a soul tie. And, you know, you've spent you have some good moments and good times with that person, and you may have prayed together and begin to map out your future of where you will live. You know, if you thought about, you know, establishing a business together, or starting up something, a company, and purchasing a house and wherever, and traveling the world, you talked about this vision of what life would be as a married couple. And I know that when you begin to pray for the relationship to work out, and you've done the wise thing by bringing God into the equation. But it's something about praying for a relationship that just takes on a whole different level of anticipation of this relationship working out. You give your all when you begin to pour your spirit into something. And to have that and for things to go in a direction that you didn't see or anticipated, it's going to hurt. And this is probably has been everyone's experience. If you are single, or if you're currently going through a breakup, you know what it feels like to be hurt, to be broken, to be disappointed. Healing is and even couples who are married now, I'm pretty sure they have had to heal from some relationship before they met the person that God has for them. You know, I can recall a few years ago, and actually part of the inspiration of writing my novel, it came from wasn't a breakup, but it was I was very immature at the time, so I was in love with someone and it didn't work out, and I got hurt from that. And I got hurt because of the hope and faith that I have in this woman being my wife. And I was a little naive back then. And thank God that I've grown, you know, from that experience. But nonetheless, when you put your feelings out there, and situation doesn't work out, it's gonna hurt you really bad. And a few years ago, I was hurt really bad, so much so to the point where I stopped dating for a year. And I stopped dating because there was something that God was trying to draw my attention to. It was like he held up the mirror with his word to allow me to see my shortcomings and mistakes and deficiencies and areas that I needed to mature and grow in. Because a lot of things that happens to us It's because of our mistakes that we have to hold ourselves accountable. And, you know, that person that you were with was probably not the one for you, but there's still some space for self-accountability of how things could have turned out. And I believe if I had paid attention to all the signs, I'll throw this out there. I didn't plan to share this, but there were so many signs that God was sending my way when I was pursuing this woman. And I remember an evening I was driving to see her. Oh, this is bringing back some not so good memories. And this is like the winter time, I think probably in December. But I was driving out to go see her to spend some time with her. I got in my, at the time, my 96 black Honda Accord coupe. And I'm get on the highway and I'm excited to go see her because, you know, she was super busy. So she worked a lot and, you know, my days were pretty filled up as well. So we, you know, had the opportunity to spend time with each other. So I get on the highway and I'm driving and this is wintertime. This is like brick cold outside. And I hit this pothole that split my tire in half. I mean, like, I've gotten plenty, a couple of flats before, but never did my tire, like, split in half. Long story short, I never made it over there. I don't even think I had roadside assistance at the time. I was stuck in and stranded for over an hour, and I never made it over there. But when that happened, and I don't even think I had a spare tire at the time. So, but when that happened, there was a moment where I thought to myself, or the thought entered my mind that I shouldn't have made it over there anyway. But even after that, I was still being persistent because, you know, the heart wants what the heart wants. And, you know, your heart desires can be out of the will of God. And my heart desired to be with this woman. And there were so many red flags that I didn't pay attention to. So as a result of that failed situation, I decided not to date for a year. And I began just to spend, you know, my days of just getting alone with God. And that was the time of I started writing my novel. So I was writing my novel, you know, without dating. I was writing my novel, spending time in God's word and seeking his face and spending intimate time with him. And the Lord began to just allow all the things, the wounds of my soul to unravel so that I can address whether it was like repentance or resentment or, you know, it's the soul is such a powerful aspect of us. It can hold, you know, a wealth of experiences, good or bad. And, you know, when you move on in life without healing and address certain issues, it can like stick and stay in your soul, and you can forget about those wounds, but they're still there. You know, just because we forget about some painful experience does not mean that it disappears or that it goes away. And you know, that year without dating, that's when I began to recognize and really began to just grow into and mature into my identity in Christ, where I was able to get the word of God under my feet and stand tall and firm and confident in who I was in Christ. And so that year without dating, it changed my life because I took the time to seek God and he allowed me, he did the healing. You know, the thing about healing, we think that, you know, we have to do all of the work, and that's not true. You know, my prayer was during that time without dating is that there was something inside of me that wanted to change. You know, I wanted to be healed. I wanted to be whole. I wanted to be a man that was spiritually sound and emotionally stable, mentally stable, and who walked with confidence, a man who knew his identity in Christ. And when you come to a point of knowing your identity in Christ, you are able to discern his will and recognize his plans and his paths and his ways. And after that year, I became a changed person, and I devoted myself to spending time with myself, and I wasn't afraid to be alone. And that's not to say that, you know, those feelings of loneliness don't surface every now and then. Again, if you are single and you have been single for a while, or if you've been in a situation and it didn't work out, and you still long for love, you long for marriage, you know, those feelings of not having anyone there, those feelings of not you know, having someone that you can like talk to, you're human. It's okay to have those feelings, but the goal and the key is to be filled so much with the love of Christ that you overcome your loneliness. And when you overcome your loneliness, everyone that comes your way is not going to speak to your heart. Every attractive person that comes into your life or that reaches out to you, you're not going to be, you know, head over heels for that person. At least immediately, right away, because now you're walking with wisdom, you're walking with discernment, and you're praying and listening to what God is trying to say and what he's trying to show you. And that's one of the wonderful things about being healed, is that you're not going to fall for anyone when you're healed and whole. And I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, because that was a point that I wanted to make later. But I want to share an experience that I had on, I'm thinking this is Saturday. I don't know, maybe Friday or Saturday. This last weekend, I was heading to the gym. And I bumped into a neighbor that I have seen quite frequently in passing, gentleman. But, you know, I got my foot back on, I'm walking down the stairs, and then, you know, I see my neighbor walking up, and we stopped and we talked. We ended up talking for about 40 minutes. And I don't want to go into specific details of our conversation out of protecting his privacy. But in our exchange, not conversation, I knew that I was supposed to pray for him. As soon as he began to talk about something he was dealing with, I was supposed to pray for him. And in return, what he shared with me encouraged me, because I was dealing with some disappointment. And, you know, one of the things that he said to me that encouraged me, because I said to him that, you know, my relationship with Christ is something that is so valuable and so important to me. And at the same time, my relationship with God eliminates a pool of women that I could be potentially interested in, a woman that could be potentially interested in me. Because I know how Christians are perceived by non-believers or persons who are practicing a different faith. I know how Christians are perceived by other believers who are devoted to God, you know, who are seeking God and in an intimate and authentic way. But the believer who is not a secret-friendly Christian, I get that. I am aware of the perception of being religious or too spiritual. And that eliminates a pool of women. And the gentleman said to me, don't wait too long to get married. And I said to him, it's, you know, trust me, the desire is there. I'm not like putting this off, because I'm, you know, I'm being a player or I'm or being a serial dater or I don't want to commit. I said, that's not the case. I said, I just haven't met, to my understanding, to my knowledge, I haven't met the one. And I refuse to settle. And, I share with him that, you know, I said to God one day, I said, no matter how disappointed that I get when situations don't work out, you know, I said to Jesus, as I frequently do when I'm talking to him by myself out loud, I said, Jesus, I will still choose you. And the gentleman said, you know, I respect your way of thinking. And that encouraged him to address the situation that he's currently in. And I want to say to you that it's okay to be disappointed if you are. God gave us these emotions. It's okay to be wounded and broken right now because you gave your all. You put your heart out there with faith and hope that the relationship that you were in was going to head to marriage or that the marriage was going to last, you know, whatever time that God wanted it to last. And it's okay. You should not get down on yourself. And, you know, I was told a friend of mine that it's okay to have certain emotions because God has given us these emotions. However, you can be disappointed and wounded and broken. You don't want to stay there. The goal is to not stay there. You can feel what you feel because you have valid reasons, substantial reasons to feel the way that you do. But you don't want to stay there. Because if you stay in your disappointment and your woundedness and your brokenness, time will pass. Opportunities will go by you. And you can miss out on the love of your life. So you don't want to stay wounded, broken, and disappointed. And I want to read the scripture that's going to be the foundation of this message. And I'll give you some time to turn to it. And it's coming from John chapter 5. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. I was going to read from the Amplified Version, but I didn't quite like it, to be honest. Because the man who Jesus made well, they referred to the man as an invalid. So I just want to read from the New King James Version. So go ahead and turn to John chapter 5. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. And I want my messages to be scripturally based and scripturally sound. It's important to incorporate scripture into whatever you are getting across to someone, especially when it comes to the matters of the heart and giving someone counsel and guidance and direction. You want it to come from God. You don't want it to come from you. So I'm going to read John 5, 1 through 8. And this is the New King James Version. After this, there was a feast of Jews, of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which is in Hebrew, which is called in Hebrew, Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time in the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Verse 5. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time. Now, this is an interesting thing. Jesus knew. He already knew that he had been in that condition for a long time. He said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" And before I read on, this is the driving question of this message. Do you want to be made well? Another translation says, do you want to be made whole? Now, if you read the scripture without asking yourself, why did Jesus ask him if you want to be made whole or made well if he already knew that he had been laying in that condition for 38 years? And the reason why Jesus asked that question, and it's a question that I often find myself asking others as well, is because a person can have an infirmity. They can have some type of condition, physical, mental, psychological, spiritual condition. Or they can have, in this context, be broken or wounded, and they need healing. And there are some people who have an infirmity and who are broken and wounded, and they do not want to be made well. They want another relationship. So the question to you, I'm going to ask the same question that Jesus asked this man. Do you want to be made well? Because this is an act of your free will that God has gifted you with the power to make decisions without him impeding on those choices. Do you want to be made well? And this is a decision. This answer is going to come from the heart. It's not going to come from your mind. It's not going to come from your lips. It has to come from your heart. Because if you have been struggling with something for years and years and years and years, and you have repented and sought God for forgiveness, you confessed your sins and you repented, but you found yourself doing it again, you have to ask yourself, do I want to be made well? Do I want this certain sin or way of thinking to come to an end, to stop? Because Jesus has passed this man more than several times and saw him there. But on this particular day, Jesus decided to ask him, do you want to be well? Verse 7, the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Now Jesus asked him, do you want to be made well? Not knowing that this is the Messiah, Jesus Christ, because he referred back to the angel stirring the pool and people getting in front of him and knocking him out of the way, and he's not quick enough to jump into the pool to be healed. Verse 8, Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. Obedience caused this man to be healed. He obeyed the words of Christ, took his bed and got up and walked. And he was healed. And the question to you is, again, do you want to be made well? Because God has given you specific instructions so that your healing can take place. Have you obeyed what God has instructed you to do? Because disobedience can keep you in your condition. Disobedience can keep the infirmity there in your life. And that day was a Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "Is this the Sabbath? Is it not lawful for you to carry your bed?" See, these are legalistic people. Verse 11, he answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" 12, verse 12. Sorry, I'm reading further. I think I said verses 1 through 8, but I feel led to read further. Then they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk?'" Verse 13. "But the one who has healed did not know who it was. For Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, 'See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you.' The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him whole." I want to go back to verse 14. "Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, 'See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you.'" Now we know in this scripture that sin brought on the infirmity, his condition. Because the wages of sin is death. There's nothing. Sin does not birth life to anything. It can only give destruction and death. But to apply this to this context of being healed for love, Jesus can heal you from your past relationship. He can heal every emotional, verbal, and physical wound, if that was the case. But if you go back to a door that God has shut, it says in the scripture, sin no more. Disobedience is sin. It's a sin. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. When we retract our steps and walk back into a place that God has delivered us from, we remove ourselves from under the umbrella and under the covering of his grace and his mercy and his love. Of course, God loves us and he does not want to see us in pain, does not want to see us fall short of his glory, does not want to see us wandering outside of his will. But he has given us free will, the power of choice, the power to make certain decisions. And there are some things that that we don't have to necessarily pray for, that it's common sense. You know, people often, you know, asking for some type of supernatural word, and sometimes we need a word of common sense. You've been hurt by this person. They've done you wrong. God closed the door. Why go back? Because, you know, I always say that potential remains potential outside of the will of God. It will never become a promise. Inside the will of God, potential actually becomes a great thing. It actually takes on the form or the outcome of how God designed and desired it to be. Because if you go back to what God had delivered you from, a worse thing can happen to you. The other thing that I want to bring to your attention is that trying to get into another relationship when you haven't healed is only going to expose your wounds. And I'm speaking from experience that in my past relationships that didn't work out, and the most rational but irrational thing to do is that when you're lonely is to begin to preoccupy your time with someone else to fill up that void of loneliness. But in the end, if you get involved in that relationship anyway, there are going to be some landmines. There's going to be certain things that's going to be said. Certain things are going to happen that's going to trigger you. And that landmine that's in your soul is going to explode. And you're going to think about that last relationship. It's going to trigger you because you haven't healed. And it's God's will for all of us, his body, to be healed and to be healed for love. And I'm going to stop there. This is just the intro. Part one is coming probably next weekend. Well, thank you so much for listening. I do really pray that you enjoy this intro, introduction to episode 8, Healed for Love. I plan to, as the Holy Spirit leads me, I'm going to go into some deep places because God has gifted me with the gift of healing. And I want to see you healed. I want to see you healed. I want to see you healed for love. And as I wait to meet my wife and you wait to meet your wife or your husband, we're in this together of waiting for God's best. And if it takes longer, then so be it. But in your waiting, make sure that you are perfecting your relationship with Christ. That you are working on the things that you need work in, need to work on. You know, I mentioned in a post or a prayer that why don't you, I suggested that, you know, that you fast and pray. And when you're fasting and praying, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal things within you that does not need to be there. Or just make a list of things that offend you. What are some triggers? What are some things that trigger you? And ask the Holy Spirit why. And if you already know, then you know. Because you can't walk in the spirit of offense when you are in a relationship. Because relationships will expose things that you need to work on. And it's okay that it exposes. But meanwhile, try to address the things that you can as a single person, as a single woman, as a single man. Because when you do meet the love of your life, you both are two imperfect people who are being perfected in Christ. But when you meet the love of your life, and you know, this goes back to 1 Corinthians 13, love is kind, love is patient. That scripture is going to be applied in that relationship with a person. The love of your life is going to be patient with you. They're going to pray with you and fast with you and help you get over the things that you need to become a better woman, a better man, a better couple, better for each other. And even in your insecurities, I was thinking of this earlier. I didn't get a chance to post it. I was going to write a quote But when you meet the person that God has for you, those insecurities that you have, the blemishes that you have, they're going to be beautiful to the love of your life. You're going to be encouraging it and empowered and celebrated, not for toxic behavior and toxic attitudes and, you know, selfishness. And you're not going to be celebrated for that. You should be held accountable by the love of your life with the word of God. But the things that you are trying to change within yourself to be who you are in Christ and to be better for the person that he sends in your life, they're going to speak the truth to you in love because they see who you can become. They see your potential and your capacity of loving, or being loving and being kind, the fruit of the Spirit. Thank you so much for listening. Check out my book. It's on Amazon, Hail for Love. If you want an autographed copy, you can email me. My email is I am Melvin, M-E-L-V-I-N, Davis, D-A-V-I-S, at Gmail. If you want to follow me on Instagram, my handle is IM_MelvinDavis. I'm also active on Facebook. But thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for your time. Be blessed.